want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are back for a Monday morning in Brevard County, and we want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And Merritt Assembly of God is the reason that we are here on this program. Monday through Friday, we are in our, we will complete our 8th year sometime in October, towards the end of October. And boy, it seems like time is just flying by this year, where 2020 just seemed to go on forever and ever. 2021 is certainly flying by. In fact, you know, it's half over pretty much, or no, not half over. That'll be at the end of the month. But as far as the seasons go, summer is officially beginning. We're now in hurricane season. You know what that means. That means all those preparations that you've got to make. But I can tell you another thing that summer means, and that is it's hot. My wife and I went away for a few days and came back, and it was like when we got off of the plane, it said it was 90 some degrees, and it was hot. It was hot. I don't know what happened in those few days that we were away, but summer decided that it was going to show up with a vengeance. And so when summer shows up, you want to make sure that your AC is running, and we have Creative AC Solutions in Central Brevard County. 321-759-3284 is their phone number. 321-759-3284. And if your air conditioner needs a little TLC, they are the folks to call in Central Brevard County. They can get you taken care of, get your problems resolved. Be it a capacitor, whether it is, has a fan motor issue. It doesn't matter if it's a traditional unit with an outside condensing unit, an inside air handler, whether it's a all combined micro split system. There's a bunch of different types of air conditioners out there, and they can get you running. All we know is we do not want you endangering yourself because you can't cool yourself down during this very hot and humid time of year. Creative AC Solutions, they can help you out in that area. Give them a call, 321-759-3284. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So today we are going to be going to Isaiah, the 10th chapter. Last week we concluded in Isaiah the 9th chapter. We were talking about how Jesus is the foundation. He is the one who puts in order and establishes judgment and justice. Today we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 10. Now, you would think that if you heard about that in Isaiah chapter 9, that there would be people who would be consulting God and finding out what he wants to say. But in Isaiah chapter 10, we're going to find out about judges who are doing things slightly differently than God would have them do it, and what that looks like. It's not pretty. So if you want to turn in your scriptures today to Isaiah chapter 10, that is where we're going to be. We're going to go through the first four verses, and I'm going to read it to you in the New King James Version. Then I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified, which gives a little bit of insight into this passage. It says in verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 10, "Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people. that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. What will you do in the day of punishment and in the desolation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners. They shall fall among the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Now, I want you to listen to it from the Amplified. And it says this: woe to those judges who issue unrighteous decrees, to the magistrates who keep causing unjust and oppressive decisions to be recorded, to turn aside the needy from justice and to make plunder of the rightful claims of the poor of my people, that widows may be their spoil and that they may make the fatherless their prey. And what will you do in the day of visitation of God's wrath and in the desolation which shall come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you deposit for safekeeping your wealth, and with whom leave your glory? Without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners. They shall fall overwhelmed under the heaps of the slain on the battlefield. For all this, God's anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out in judgment. So let me start off this program today, because I've pretty well established that God is seeking justice, that God is looking for us to seek justice, that justice is founded on a relationship with Jesus. It is sustained by Jesus, and it prevails through Jesus. If we want justice, we need to have a relationship with Jesus. Not according to our terms, according to his terms. A lot of people think that they're negotiating with God in their own strength, as if they're negotiating from the point of strength. And what we need to realize is without God, we can do nothing. He has all of the strength. We have the need. Okay? I don't do any favors for God. He's sovereign. He blesses me. He loves me. He loves you. He blesses you. But we've got to understand that the word of God is not up for negotiation. It's not to be interpreted from a cultural perspective, but instead the word of God is the standard. Culture must adapt to the word of God, not the word of God adapting to culture. So, chapter 9 states, you know, where Jesus is, that he's going to, in his zeal, perform this and is going to come and order and establish justice in accordance with the wishes of heaven. So, verse number 10, or chapter 10, in verse number 1, it says this: woe to those who decree unrighteous decree. In the Amplified, it inserts the word judges there. People of authority, woe to them. That is not a blessing. That is a lamentable condition. And he says, when you start making, whether you're a politician, whether you're a judge, whether you're a king, whether you're an advisor to a king, if you're a priest or a prophet or a businessman, whatever you do, whenever you start decreeing things that are unrighteous as determined by God, woe to you. Woe to you. And I will tell you, it doesn't matter what sort of verbiage a person attaches to the decree. If it is an unrighteous decree, if it's an ungodly decree, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, the will of God, it is unrighteous. It says, when that takes place, you are in a lamentable, dangerous, precarious position that could bring about your own demise. Okay? It is a sobering place to be when you realize that God has positioned you to make decisions for the people that are supposed to reflect him, his nature, and his word. Whenever that process gets corrupted, and you can see that throughout Israel's history, whenever that process is corrupted, it doesn't produce the same result as when people are making righteous decrees. Righteousness, doing what is right before God, right for men, whenever righteous decrees are made, it exalts a nation. It lifts it up. It blesses everybody. And so, woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees. And then it says, and to the magistrates who keep causing unjust and oppressive decisions to be recorded. The New King James Version says, who write misfortune which they have prescribed. Right there is W-R-I-T-E. Who put down and record misfortune that they are the ones that created. A long time ago, had one of my kids that got sick. They had a wound that wasn't healing, and I was told about it. I saw a news story about a person the same age and what had happened to that person. I said, I'm going to go take this person to the walk-in clinic and get this taken care of, just in case it's the same thing that the other person had. So they wrote a prescription. Okay. Nothing wrong with the process. It is a prescription that they write, you know, a bunch of times. And turns out that this child was allergic to one of the ingredients, one of the primary ingredients in that prescription. And so she got sicker and sicker, got a phone call from the school one day and said, you know, one of my kids is dead. Serious complications here. And so I took her to the doctor. He sent her to the hospital. They were preparing for surgery, and the surgeon came in and made these words. He said, I believe that our treatment is what's the problem here. That the prescription wasn't making things better, it was making things worse. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times people make decrees, they make judgments, they make decisions, they operate in a certain way because of the culture that they live in, whether or not that culture lines up with the Word of God or not. I want you to know that when God showed up at where Joshua was, Joshua said, are you for us or are you for our enemies? He said, neither. I'm the captain of the army of the Lord of hosts. I'm here to do God's business. And I think that we need to remember that when it comes to our society, that God is still about the kingdom of God. And our culture needs to line up with the Word of God. Now, when people in authority make unrighteous decrees and they start recording or setting ungodly precedent, that puts them in a lamentable condition. They think that it is a way that they have enriched themselves. You can read that in the context here. But what they are really doing is they are setting themselves up for a failure, because God's going to bring a moral correction into the situation. Okay? I do not care what the law of the land is when it endorses abortion and infanticide. That's immoral, and I'm not going to be standing on the side of that. And people say, well, some of the country has one view of that, and some, I'm sorry, but they are not moral equivalents. They are not the same. Protecting life and taking life are not, you know, 50-50. You know, flip a coin, which side are you on? That's just not biblical. Okay. And so God comes and he says, look, I just expressed to you in the few verses before that I want to establish an orderly, established government that is about justice, and I'm going to zealously accomplish that. And then he says, I've got unrighteous judges making unrighteous decrees, and I've got wicked magistrates who are setting wicked precedents with the intent of continuing to take advantage of people. Who are they taking advantage of? In verse number 2, it says to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people. So the people who end up getting taken advantage of are the people who cannot or who do not have the resources to find the allies that will play the game, that will grease the palm or whatever the game might be. They're not the power brokers that are going to be able to manipulate the justice system. Let me tell you this about God's justice system. It can't be manipulated. Man's can, God's can't. And so you see this legal whiplash that goes on in America of, well, I'm going to support this law, but I'm not going to support this law. And then there's a transition. Well, we're not going to support that law that you supported. And here's the question. I thought we were supposed to elect officials who would execute the law of the land, who will uphold the Constitution of the land. It's just a simple thought. I'm a simple individual. I kind of look at things and say, this is right, this is wrong. You know, and in a day and time when good is being described as evil and evil is being described as good, it's nice to have a little bit of clarity. Chapter 10, verse number 2 in the Amplified says this, to turn aside the needy from justice. Well, it's okay if it's an unjust society because, after all, they're the needy, they're the poor, they don't need justice. We need justice, and that's not what God is for. God is for justice for everybody. It's in the New King James. It says to take what is right from the poor of my people, and in the Amplified it says, and to make plunder of the rightful claims of the poor of my people. One time I was speaking to a situation. A standard was wanting to be moved, and I got up to speak to address it. It was in a business meeting type thing. And after I got up to speak to the situation, people said, Are you doing okay? I mean, you know, if you're speaking to this, you must be speaking from a position where it impacts you. And I said, no, I'm perfectly fine. It doesn't impact me at all. I said, but my point in addressing this was quite simply this. If the scale can be manipulated, if it can be shifted, it can be moved. Today it could be moved and it will not impact you, but tomorrow they could shift it again and it could be negatively impact to you. My thing is, let's have a standard. And God does. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody listening to the sound of my voice is in a spiritually needy situation. If you're rich, you need Jesus. If you're poor, you need Jesus. I've told the story. We bought a house one time. My daughter saw it in the condition that we bought it in, and she deemed it the Jesus house. She said, that house needs Jesus. Well, I want you to know that dilapidated homes need Jesus and million-dollar mansions need Jesus. There are a lot of people with a lot of money who are walking around miserable and unhappy and hurting people. They need Jesus. God's doing some things in my heart and in my mind right now, because a lot of times we think that the only people who need Jesus are the people who are sick or the people who are poor. It's not. It's everybody. And as our community is changing, we've got to realize you can be a down and outer and need Jesus, and you can be an up and outer and need Jesus. But if you're in a position of power, you had better not be using your position of influence to oppress people that Jesus died for. Don't oppress the people that Jesus died to save. It goes on and it says that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. I'm going to make a statement here. A lot of people talk about the tax rate and all that sort of stuff, and I'm in by no means the upper tax bracket or anything like that. I've spent way more time towards the lower end of the scale than never even seen the top end of the scale. So I'm much more familiar with that. My mission in life is to restore value where others have not seen value. That's my mission statement in life. And so I've done that with houses. I've done that with churches. I've done that with youth groups. That's what I do. I specialize. The shoe jobs that I sold in retail, they were departments that needed some help. And so they brought me in to help stabilize them and get them to improve. I will say this about the tax rate, and that is this. In our system, it is marketed as a way of taxing the rich. Let me tell you what it really is. It is a way to keep people who don't have anything from having anything. I spoke with a person here not too long ago. They were living in a very high tax state, and they were saying, I can't make it. I can't make it. And they're not rich. It is designed. The people who have resources are going to find a way to keep those resources. They'll manipulate the system however they want. So I'll just go into meddling here right now too. I believe it was Dave Ramsey who said the lottery is a government authorized tax upon the poor. There are a lot of people who play the lottery that think that that's going to be their ticket out of poverty, when all it is them giving away their resources to a government who doesn't have the greatest track record spending wise. I'll move on to the next subject, that they may rob the fatherless. And then in verse number 3, it says this: what will you do? Where will you go? Who is going to help you? Where are you going to hide your resources when the day of judgment comes? That's my quick synopsis of what is talking about. He said, without me, you are going to bow down among the prisoners and you shall fall among the slain. I think the Amplified says, they shall fall overwhelmed under the heaps of the slain on the battlefield. If you've been oppressed, if you have had someone that has taken advantage of you, there's unrighteous decrees. Please do not think that that is God endorsed. It's not. It's not. God endorses justice, not injustice. And a lot of people would look at this situation and they would say, where is God when all of this is going on? And we feel very strongly about things when they're impacting us. But I want you to know, God feels very strongly about injustice all the time. The truth of the matter is, he died to save the poor. He died to save the widow. He died to save the orphan. He also died to save kings. Read Daniel chapter 4. See how far he was willing to go in Nebuchadnezzar's life just to get him to know that there's one true God. Darius, Cyrus, he placed Daniel in a position of authority for all of those people. Belteshazzar, he loves kings. Constantine was a Roman emperor who became a Christian. Why? Because Jesus not only loves the down and out, he loves the up and out. But he wants all of us not to be making unjust decrees. He doesn't want us taking advantage of people, oppressing people, keeping them pushed down so that we could be lifted up. He wants everybody living a just system that he says. Do you know that in the Old Testament, God said, if you will follow my decrees, you will not have any poor in the land. He's able to lift everybody out of that depth of poverty and oppression. We don't have to push other people down in order for God to lift us up. When I was young, a friend of mine took us swimming, and I wandered a little too far into the deep end of the pool, and I wasn't the greatest swimmer. And I started struggling. My friend came over and he tried to help me. He was trying to help me not drown. But I was in panic mode at that point in time. And when he came over, I was trying to use him for leverage to get up out of the water. And what I was doing was actually holding him under the water. I want you to know today, if others are trying to hold you down, I want you to look to Jesus because he's able to lift you up. And if you've got a lifestyle of making bad decisions, oppressive decisions, I want you to know there was a guy by the name of Matthew, sometimes called Levi, who knew exactly what that was. There was a guy by the name of Zacchaeus who did the same thing. And one day Jesus came to his house and they said, you know what? We're going to change the way we operate, and we're going to become followers of Jesus. I pray all of us will do that. That's a life of justice. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.